KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, asking the questions that matter. Like, when was the last time you tried to start a conversation with a comment and the other person goes, okay.
No,
well, and they just decided that they were done with what you had to say.
Just a minute ago, Kevin goes, I feel like we don't use the word musty enough anymore.
And because I was like, RJ was doing his read and he's like, dirty, crusty, musty. And I was like, you don't really hear that word anymore.
What, I don't pay attention to the use, the amount of times musty is used. But then again, there are other words that are like, jive turkey that we, you know, we didn't keep up with that until the Harbaugh came and brought it back.
Uh-huh. So that's how we started the show today. Have you had a conversation recently that you thought was going to spark something and the person you were talking to was like, I don't give an F about what you just
said.
Listen,
man, I am usually, Alec, you've seen how many times Kevin says, all right, let's go on this ride. I'm like, all right, I'm right there with you, buddy. Every once in a while, though, we just don't have to hit it and drive. You know, we can just leave it in park and wait for the next one. That one was one of them.
Okay. I mean, we talked about it last week, didn't we? Just let it marinate sometimes. Like, think about what you just said, you know? Yeah, just leave it. Yeah.
So we're going to get to a lot of serious stuff today, but I also feel like the potential is for a wild one today.
Yeah, it could be today. And yes, it does look, we'll have Bochy on and we will talk a little bit about some of the new words that he's learned, because that is a challenge.
And how to overcome a 3-1 deficit in a series.
Yes. He knows.
Yeah, he can help us with that.
Let's go.
All right, because the reason why we need to talk about that is go ahead and give me cut number one, because the Stars made some more NHL history last night.
Edmonton 3 out of 11 on the power play in the series, as Ray said, one goal in each. Two of them by Nugent. Hopkins, they score! Leon Draisaitl, a one-timer. A power play goal and a 1-0 Oilers lead.
Has he scored a goal in every game?
It feels like he has, just like their power play in every home game or every game in this series. I have trouble giving credit to the opponent, and so part of me wants to be like, man, that was a pretty goal. But the other part is like, screw it. I don't want to give them credit for anything. Instead, I want to talk about the fact, and we've been tracking this most of the playoffs, that for the 14th time in 17 playoff games, the Stars gave up the first goal. That is an NHL record for the most first goals given up in a playoff run, which isn't particularly surprising because you probably don't give up a lot of first goals if you've made it this far.
Right.
So the Stars are an anomaly from this point. And that obviously right there is what made the entire first period so freaking frustrating, is because you did it. Like, you outplayed Edmonton. Absolutely. There is no question, if you're just watching the first period yesterday, the Stars look like the better team. And yet you go to intermission and you're losing.
Yeah, couldn't bury one. You couldn't put one home.
Nope.
And at this point, you start to question the tenseness of your guys. You know, Bochy's brought this up. You talk about it a lot. When you're trying too hard, you're trying to do too many things. And sometimes you just need to, you know, you relax a little bit. It's easier said than done. It's so much easier said than done. Mike says this a lot of times with pitchers when they're on the mound. You're doing too much. And you just got to do a little less. Don't try to throw 102. Just try and throw 95. You know, just try to do those little things, and maybe that's going to work for you. It's just, every time they make an advancement, then they make a dumb penalty and put themselves in another situation where they're going to be down. And this team in Edmonton knows how to take advantage of those moments immediately. And they're destroying the Stars every chance they get on the power play.
From the, I think that was cut one, but they said never play cut three again. All right. After this, we won't play cut three again.
I don't really want to play it. That's okay.
Here is cut three.
Draisaitl, Bouchard passed up the bomb. McDavid down low, Nugent Hopkins. Out in front, they score! And it's Corey Perry!
Now, obviously, there was a couple of former Stars that gave you some heartache yesterday, but there was another one. And the game was significantly closer. That's one of the things that you hate, unless you're on the winning side of it, about the empty net goal, is it makes it look like, if people didn't watch the game, that it was kind of a walk. That game was close all throughout, and then you tag on the couple of empty net goals at the end. But the lack of ability to take the lead, hence the lack of ability to keep a lead, and your most complete first period to date, all of that is part of the frustration that goes into this series so far.
Yeah, Kevin, I know you have this note in here. Lack of hits.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this for a while. Last night, it really kicked me in the junk whenever I heard the sideline report that whenever there was a little tussle at the end after a play, DeBoer went and told them, "We're not built for that. We have to focus on scoring some goals.
Yeah.
We're not built for that." And Kevin, I've been looking at these numbers here. Here's the totals of hits in this series so far.
It didn't feel good last night.
Stars, game one, 34.
Okay.
To 43.
I mean, that could be worse.
Game two, 29 to 50.
Ooh.
Game three, 30 to 47. Last night, 25 to 50.
And they lost the guy who was on pace to set the record for most hits ever.
Yeah.
And look, we talked about this going back to the Colorado series a couple times. I don't always think team hits is indicative of how I felt the physicality of the game went. Last night, I do think it was indicative.
Yeah, and I mean, these numbers edge out everything that we've seen in the series so far. And that is that the Stars' physicality, lack thereof, is a problem for them again. You can't just go in there and take it from a team like that and expect that you're just going to walk away with the things you want. You have to fight for it. And this doesn't look like much of a fight. Now, if they're just not built for that and that's not who they are, and maybe that's another thing too. Maybe when he says we're not built for that, he's saying right now our PK isn't good enough. And we can't get into fights after things because we can't afford to have guys in the box right now. Maybe that's what he was saying when it came to that, because they aren't good enough, especially they've been good enough,
yeah,
but against Edmonton, they are not good enough.
Which if that's the case, then you kind of see his point, right? Where you're kind of like, man, that power play for Edmonton just looks so freaking unbelievably automatic.
Their passes are so crisp. They're so creative. The Stars passes, it looks like every time they send the puck across the ice, it's going to jump over somebody's blade. You know, it's just like, I don't want to stick to your stick at all. And they just look like everything. They just look like the puck is getting stuck with a little tape, and they're just flicking. It just looks so easy for them right now. And the Stars aren't making it tough. So, Kevin, definitely give them a lot of the credit for what they've done.
Sure.
The Stars definitely get a lot of the credit for the things they haven't done too. And they know that right now, and that's why coming back here into Dallas, they're gonna need this crowd. They're gonna need everything they can get, because aside from one period and about a 3-minute offensive explosion, has been nothing for this team.
You know, and you made reference to it. That was one of the things that we were talking about before the show. Is it lack of hits, penalty kill, offensive collapse, something else entirely? And that's the thing, that's the real reason you're losing this series 3-1, is it could be any of those things plus probably a couple of others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that Stuart Skinner is playing unbelievable, and we talked about this, you go back to their last series and he had back-to-back shutouts, I believe, to close out that series, and that was one of the concerns that we brought up. If Stuart Skinner is playing this way, which I still think is above his head, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
And he's just gaining confidence. You know, he's like, every single time he makes a stop, it does two things. One, gives him just a little more confidence in what he's doing, and takes away from the Stars' confidence. They don't even look like they want to shoot. They look like they're afraid to shoot because, hey, man, if we put it up there, it's not going in anywhere. They look like they're concerned that it's not going to go in. That's what I was afraid of in the last series, that they were at some point going to be in their own heads about being able to score. And right now, they do kind of look like that. And this is something, Kevin, that I think I absolutely agree with. Bouchard gives a slap to Roope's foot.
Yeah.
And nobody does a thing about it.
Yeah. He should have just knocked his ass into the ice right there.
There's not a single person on this team that's going to go, you know, right up into him and say that that doesn't fly around here, not with our guy.
Okay, this might be a controversial opinion then, because it's too late to do anything about that. That person makes an excellent point. My controversial opinion is you can't afford to do anything about it, because this Dallas Stars team right now is not playing acceptable 5-on-5 hockey. They're going to score if they get a power play. And that's the thing. Like, Corey's our star player, right? And then all of a sudden, Choppy comes up and takes out his knee. And I'm like, mother. And you want to do something about it. I can't. Because I can't afford offsetting penalties. Because my team is not good enough to compete at even strength. I have to say, sorry, Corey. That's messed up what he just did. But I need him to go into the box, because that's really the only chance I have to score.
Yeah, and
that's pathetic.
And when you don't have, when that's not working, what you said, and then you don't have the ability to go back something up whenever somebody, you know, a bully tries to back you down, then you don't have any fear instilled in them. They're playing confident. They're playing free. They're playing like you can't touch them, because they know you can't.
Yeah.
And that's where Edmonton currently is mentally. They know the Stars can't beat them up. They know the Stars can't touch them 5-on-5, and they know that if they do try to beat them up, they're going to be stuck in a worse situation and giving up a goal.
This feels impossible, so I double-checked it, and it still feels wrong to me. All right, the Stars, as an entire team in this series, they have 20 points.
All right.
Okay? 8 goals and 12 assists. So we'll individualize it out. We can talk about who has what later. But the point is, the Stars as a whole have 20 points in this series. Connor McDavid has 7. Draisaitl has 7. Nugent Hopkins has 9 in this series alone. Those three players for Edmonton have 23 points in 4 games. That means they are averaging as a group 6 points per game. Just think about that. Just those three. And I realize those are their three top scorers of the playoffs thus far. Although Nugent Hopkins has moved into that role,
yeah, he
because
definitely
of the series.
Absolutely.
Just those three have more combined goals and assists than every player on your roster in this series.
Yeah. And because this team doesn't have the same physicality. They don't have the same. I think it seriously starts right there. I know all these other things, Kevin, but that's where that starts. The other thing of being able to make a pass and center a pass and get one into the goal. Seems like every time they center a pass, there's 15 Edmonton defenders right there in front of the net. So that's confusing to me too. The first game, whenever they scored all these, you're like, hey, the traffic in front of the net helped us so much.
Yeah.
They're putting their own traffic in front of the net, and the Stars are having a hard time with it right now. They can't get a bounce off of anybody. And those are lucky things. Those are lucky things that you're hoping for. But those three guys right there, Kevin, the two names, obviously, were
sure.
You know, we got another name that got thrown into it. Yep. He's getting to play as free as he wants.
He has more points than either one of them.
Because of what everybody else is doing, like who they are on the ice, the fear they put into you. Now he's free to go roam around and do what he wants. And then you look at the other talent they have in Kane. I mean, I know Hyman was out last night, but
and it looks like he's going to be out going forward.
They're a good team. And that is something we knew going into this. This is the ultimate challenge from here on, is to be able to come back from something like this, because it's near impossible.
And I went back and watched what happened with Hyman a couple of different times, and like I just didn't see it immediately. And now it looks like he's going to be out going forward, and we could talk more about that later. But it's discouraging to me that didn't necessarily
change anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like I thought, okay, maybe then you could be a little bit more physical as a team, because I know the problem with that is if you're physical, that plays into the strengths of the Oilers, and they're like, yeah, we'll counterattack you to hell and you'll be in a lot of trouble. But the Stars didn't necessarily do that. They continued to get out physical. They continued to show some vulnerability on the counterattack, although I thought Ottinger played pretty well. Now, I know it's tough to argue that when you see the other goaltender on the other side and you're like, hey, that's great. Pretty well is not good enough.
No, you're right. But Otter was good last night,
though. Yeah, but it wasn't good enough. So even with Hyman out going forward, what I hope is at least, well, three more games. Not at least. They're not going to play more than that. I hope that would make a difference, but there's nothing in the rest of that game that made me think, oh, Edmonton's in a lot of trouble. Like, I would have oddly felt better if the Stars' first period yesterday was kind of clunky. And then they really picked it up after Hyman went out.
No, but they were... They
yeah,
came
that's
out
not what
really
happened
good.
At all.
Now, the what ended up happening throughout the rest of the game, though, Kevin, is this Stars team looked tired to me. They couldn't get out on a breakout at all. Like, did you see every time the puck got loose, it looked like there was a Stars player just doing everything he could just to get a skate moving. And I was like, oh, man, why do we look so slow? They look slow. They look out of sorts. And it looks like Edmonton has the answers to the test. They look like they already have it figured out on where the Stars are supposed to be, and the Stars can't figure out where they're supposed to be.
It was the magic of that second goal, I believe, where Edmonton managed to juke one of the defenders and had essentially three people out on the point while the Stars had four defensemen essentially compacted right in front of the net.
It's wild, man.
And you're like, well, that's probably not a good strategy.
We're
going
to figure it out at some point, though, right?
Well, you better figure it out on Thursday or else some point is the offseason, right?
Oh, so you're saying we got a whole year then after in case.
No!
Figure this thing out for next time.
All right. I have to admit something.
You're saying you don't want to be in the playoffs next year?
I don't care about next year. I care about this year because my admission that people can get mad at me for, I still think the Stars can win this series. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Judge if you must. Coming up next, let's do... some NFL overreaction or reality. Next, right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, in the noon o'clock hour, we will have Bruce Bochy on the show. Also, do our stick figure giveaway. If you want to go ahead and tweet Corey at In The Majors with your best stick figure drawing, I think that would be a good use of your time.
I'll retweet all of them. I'll like and retweet every stick figure.
I have to put you on mute for the day. All right. Right now, let's do some NFL overreaction or reality. Don't worry. We will get back into the Stars in this broadcast, I promise. NFL overreaction or reality. I think this is my biggest question that I hope you guys say reality. Tyler Guyton will make a big jump up this season. Now, last year, 14 penalties were called against him that were accepted. That was tied for second most in all of the NFL. And those false starts felt like they were always there when you needed them the least.
So he was out in front on that at least.
Yes, he was a leader in his field.
There you go.
So overreaction or reality, because this feels like the key to a lot of stuff.
It is the key.
Okay.
Like he is the absolute key to this offensive line because I have faith in Tyler Smith. I have faith in that Cooper Beebe last year. How often were we stressed about him at center?
Not particularly.
So this year should be like unless it's sophomore slump time, this should be another year to build on for him. You should feel pretty comfortable. Booker walked in and said, I like to see the souls of people leave their bodies whenever I'm destroying them in football. I summarize that, you know.
And I realize that's probably too intense for every player to say, but that's what I want to hear.
I want to hear it from that guy, the guy that's supposed to be protecting the quarterback.
Mortal Kombat fatality.
And we all feel like Steele is kind of a wild card because we've seen him play well and we've seen him play very, very poorly. But Tyler Guyton, we've only seen this version of him. Now, Kevin, the other day I was looking at a picture and I was like, he looks bigger. He looks stronger than he did coming into his rookie season. This is going into OTAs. If that's the case, I hope his footwork is better and the strength is there because those are the two things last year that were problematic for him was his footwork kept him from being able to use his strength appropriately.
Look, Alec, I'm going to get your answer in just 1 second, but I feel like we go over this at least once a season. Let's see if we can knock it out right now. If Tyler Guyton played for any other team, he would not have been called for those penalties, though. I cannot tell you how much that is not a fact.
Always true.
I disagree with that so, so, so much. The NFL, more than anything, wants the Dallas Cowboys to be good. They want the Dallas Cowboys to win. Their dream is a Cowboys-Chiefs Super Bowl that would obliterate all modern ratings records, all right? I don't believe that the NFL is against the Cowboys because the Cowboys are their biggest name brand. That makes no sense.
Dez caught it, though. But I'm just saying, if they really loved the Cowboys that much, they would have been like, you know what? Look, Dez did catch it.
Mini overreaction of reality, Alec. Sometimes I am mad that the Cowboys don't get it rigged for them by the NFL.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, what good is it being your name brand?
Peyton Russell has already sent me a stick figure, Kevin. I just wanted to let you know.
Good. Is it a good one?
It's a stick figure and it has a picture of Ed Werder above it. So.
Oh! You know what that makes you? That makes you a stick.
All right.
That is... Go back and see if you can find Corey going off on Ed Werder. It is amazing. All right, Alec, overreaction
or
reality, Tyler Guyton will make a big jump up this season.
I think that is going to be a reality because I remember towards the end of the regular season this past season, it was CA and I out at Buffalo Wild Wings. We had Jerry Jones on the show and I asked him, what do you want to see from some of these younger players? Because I think it was the day that we found out CeeDee Lamb was getting shut down. So I was like, okay.
Yeah,
like there's really
we're done.
There's nothing to look forward to. So I'm like, what do you want to see from maybe some of these younger players? And he said, unprovoked, he said, I think I got out in front of my skates about Tyler Guyton, you know, and the expectations for his rookie season, because we all knew like he wasn't the highest rated offensive lineman on the consensus board or anything like that. We weren't mad at the pick, but we're like, huh, okay, that might take some time. But of course, the way the Cowboys work, because they don't add in free agency, is whenever they have a high draft pick, just any first round draft pick, the expectation is day one starter. They're going to fit right in.
Yeah.
It's going to look seamless. That's the expectation with every single first round draft pick, sometimes the second and third round draft picks. So I think that a lot of us just naturally heard the talk from within about him that this guy's going to be a stud, blah, blah, blah. But in reality, that's a hard position to play, let alone as, you know, a low 20-year-old that, you know, is just now experiencing this level of competition. So I think the offseason helped him out a lot, and I think that rookie season, I think that was a learning curve, and I think he's ready to move past that.
Now, this question is a little different. Overreaction or reality, NFL stars have to really try out to make the Olympic flag football team because Daryl Hoosh Doucette said that he hopes that flag football players get an opportunity to make the Olympic team. So overreaction reality, there should be a real honest-to-goodness tryout for this team.
Yeah.
That's what they do with the Olympics?
Yeah, I mean, don't...
For basketball.
What about running? You have to try out to run?
Yep. But you're right. But don't you feel like so many NFL players just have... It sounds like they've kind of assumed that they can just be on the team if they want.
Yeah, I'm faster than that guy. I can catch football. No, I understand that. And quite honestly, they probably do want to put some real big names out there because they feel like, you know, they know how to work at that level for one. I mean, they really know what it takes to be the best. But they also would like some star power because we're freaking America, Kevin. And we kind of like that. All right. We like fame. And so that helps us out. It helps us win because famousness.
Alec, your thoughts are, I need now, twofold. NFL stars should have to try out and we're freaking America.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on those two things?
Reality to both because, you know, the latter of the two is technically correct and we know that's the best kind of correct.
It is.
And I do think it's a reality that they should have to try out now. Will a lot of them probably make the team over some of these current flag football players? Sure. You know, because NFL athletes are just different, but it is a very different kind of game too. Like, I know the cool thing would be put Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. He's going to make every throw, but I bet some of these pro flag players are a lot more elusive, and they're used to running around. They're probably faster than him. So there's different elements to the game that these guys don't realize, but I am ready for the memes. They're going to be amazing. Mm. We've already seen some. Like, I saw one that was like, whenever a 24-year-old plumber from Botswana lines up in front of Justin Jefferson, you know, like, that's going to be the best thing ever. So I'm here for it, but they do have to go through the process.
Now, I know a lot of people think that this is going to go one direction, so I'm going to go the other direction with it. Overreaction or reality, Kirk Cousins will get the Falcons starting quarterback job back at some point this season.
Overreaction.
Oh.
Michael Penix is not getting that. Don't
say it like that.
That is his job from now on. He took it. He straight up took it from Kirk Cousins.
That makes you a
Well, dang it, dude. I've had a conversation with him about this.
That Corey has ever been on.
I was upset, and for good reason, by the way. I was upset with good reason, and I feel like I was supported in that moment.
I supported you. I still support you.
I was told, just don't say it too often, all right? That's what I was told. And I said, I thank you. I appreciate that. I had full support. I don't know what the question was. What were we saying?
Kirk Cousins is going to get his job back.
He stinks at quarterback. He'll never get it.
Hey, I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying he's going to get his job back. Alec? What say you?
That's a unique way to put it. Like, hey, the fact is,
I'm not here to argue.
Yeah, like, he's still a bad quarterback, but that doesn't mean he couldn't get his job back. That's kind of interesting. But no, I'm with Corey. Yeah, I think Michael Penix has that job for good reason. I think that they really want to vindicate themselves for making that draft pick. So going back on it this early, just a season and some change into it, that would be kind of odd.
Okay. You know, you're probably right, but
somebody set a challenge for Corey.
Oh.
One show when you can't be sarcastic and you get a $100 gift card to the restaurant of your choice.
Ooh.
If successful, tomorrow.
Knife and plano.
I will attempt.
Oh no.
To get a $100 gift card to Jersey Mike's. That is
That's a lot of those brownies.
So much Jersey Mike's, dude. I love that place.
A lot of bread.
Y'all just get ready.
Carbs.
Here we go.
All right. I like it.
It'll be serious Corey tomorrow.
Oh, no. Does that mean you're going to up the tomfoolery today?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows how I divide up my tomfoolery.
See, because you only thought Mike was gone. But really. All right. NFL overreaction or reality. Mike McDaniel will not be the Dolphins head coach in 2026.
Dude. He has such a good relationship with the GM. They work very well together. It's unfortunate that they attach their wagon to Tua because he's not healthy enough frequently enough for them to be successful with him. Now, he's pretty good whenever he's out there, but he's not out there consistently enough. So I think somebody would have to go, and Mike McDaniels will probably be the one that to get the axe on that because they can't just get rid of Tua, can they?
Ooh, I would have to take a look at that. It feels too early in that contract to move off of it. But I'll check.
I don't remember if it was ESPN or The Athletic, but somebody put out a piece earlier in the offseason that there was some concerns about Mike McDaniel's confidence after his first year in Miami being so successful. And then after that, he's kind of like, you know, I'm that guy. And then he hasn't really done anything since then. So I think there are some people, including me, that are starting to question, has that magic worn off after that first winning season? Because it's been mediocrity ever since then. And to Corey's credit, a lot of it has to be with his quarterback not knowing how to fall properly and all that. We've gone through that saga, you know, doing jujitsu and whatever. Good luck with that. You know, we'll see if he can play a full season. But I don't think the team has been necessarily motivated either. So I'd say no. I don't think he's going to be.
All right. One more, if you don't mind. NFL overreaction or reality. The Commanders should always go for it on fourth down. Now, it's a dramatic statement, but last year, the Commanders were 20 for 23 on fourth down. That is an 87% conversion rate. And, like, that's just unfreaking believable to me. So overreaction or reality, just go for it every time.
When we were working at the newspaper in Plano,
I believe we started seeing the
armchair quarterback too on the Monday morning quarterback. He used to talk about this, Easterbrook. He used to talk about this all the time, that why don't you just go for fourth down? And this has been a long history of things. And this also went back to the team from, was it El Paso, that only shot threes in high school. And we would track kind of what their success was. I love the idea of just go for it on fourth down. Most of the time, you're close enough to get something done. Like, most of the time, you're close enough to make that play. And if you believe that you have a group in front of you, much like the Eagles do, and much like Washington did, you believe that you can get that first down off the fourth, you got to go for it.
Almost a quarter of their points they scored, Alec, last season were on drives that included a fourth down conversion.
That's incredible. Dan Campbell could dream of that. And yes. It's amazing that we put him on a pedestal for that, and yet the Commanders, it feels like, at least based by the numbers you just gave, are better.
Yes.
So why not at that point? And, you know, second year Jaden Daniels with a little bit more confidence in his back pocket? Sure. Why not?
I like it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Perhaps more NFL overreaction or reality tomorrow. Coming up next, though, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Let's get to the MLB All Quarter Century Team next on The Fan.
And he drives it to left center field. Steven's going to watch it go. Goodbye. Mike Trout assaulted that one. A two-run homer into the rock pile.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, if you're listening on the app, you want to radio rewind it, or if you want to check out the podcast later, make sure you listen to the end of Crosstalk this morning and Sean's attempt to get out of the segment because it was truly magical.
He aborted it.
That's what he said. And we all reacted accordingly. All right. The Major League Baseball.
Do you think Sean loves the crosstalk with us?
I think he loves the crosstalk and hates us simultaneously.
All right. Yeah. I can
mostly you.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
We've traded. He used to mostly hate me for real.
I just feel like
and we traded that.
I feel like he sees us coming in for crosstalk and he's like, my day is finally starting. You know, like I think he's like, this is
in your face.
This is
RJ and Bobby.
Everybody's. He's got to do the show with them, right? You know, he has to do this. But when he sees us, it's like I get to do crosstalk with these guys. I think that's how he feels about it. That's
privilege.
Just, yeah, I think that's how he feels.
You know what?
We'll ask him tomorrow when Sirius Corey shows up.
Oh my God, I don't want that. All right, the All Quarter Century Team, as determined by Jason Stark, we will go through that in Baseball Nuggets, which is, of course, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Now, we were going to talk about this a little bit yesterday. Are there any Rangers that jump to mind that you're like, I think they should be on the all-quarter century team?
Seager definitely could be. I don't even know who's been here the last. I think Beltre, is he in that mix? Is he in the conversation on this?
He could be.
Okay, then he would definitely be on the list for me.
You're going to be mad when I tell you who's at shortstop.
It's been the last 25 years.
First base, Albert Pujols.
All right.
Second base, Jose Altuve. He hit two home runs yesterday. He finished just ahead of Chase Utley for this prize. Shortstop, not Corey Seager, not A-Rod, not Lindor. It's Derek Jeter.
Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, because New York bias and all that. I mean, it makes sense that they would put him in because he's considered the best, even though we know the truth.
Third base. It comes down to Chipper Jones or Adrian Beltre.
I would roll with Beltre.
Alec, would you also take Adrian Beltre over Chipper Jones?
I'd take Beltre.
You guys are smart. Adrian Beltre is the winner. Now, look at this outfield. Left field, Barry Bonds.
He was good.
He was. And a cheater. Over
only half of
Juan
his career.
Soto.
Allegedly.
Okay. It's fair. No, he has a positive test.
No, we don't know if like he was doing it the first half of his career.
Oh,
that's why I said allegedly.
Fair.
Yeah, on the first half. The
center half. Field, Mike Trout. And right field, and holy crap, does this dude look better and better every year, Aaron Judge.
All right, so we got a guy who's probably going to be suspended for most of the games because of the steroid use. A guy who's going to be injured for most of the games.
Hey, this is the good version of Mike Trout.
And
the
then,
2011 to 2020 version.
Okay, gotcha. And Aaron Judge at this point, I really don't have a knock on him. I other than he doesn't have... Yeah,
just hope you don't have a playoff series.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. But yeah, what a tough outfield. We're not a great defensive outfield.
That's fair.
With Judge and Wright. But as far as bats go, good luck. You better have DeGrom pitching against us every game.
You're good behind the plate. Yadier Molina is your catcher, and David Ortiz is your designated hitter.
Dude.
Here's our pitching staff.
If
remember,
they play in the Yankee Stadium, Ortiz is going to have so many home runs.
True. You get the best version of all of these players for the All-Century team. Here's your rotation. Justin Verlander, Clayton Kershaw, Roy Halladay, Max Scherzer, and Randy Johnson. And your closer is Mariano Rivera.
You're kidding. Wow. Oof. That is an amazing pitching group right there. Who are my bullpen? Do we have any bullpen aside from Mariano Rivera?
They didn't list a bullpen. They just, I guess, go off the assumption that every pitcher is going to throw eight innings.
Or he's
going to get yelled at by Nolan Ryan.
Who's this team playing against? Let's build the next team now.
I'll do that. Just for that, we're going to sub in Chipper Jones. And we're going to take Adrian Beltre for the all-quarter-century Texas Rangers team.
All right, okay.
Which I just want to warn you, I've done no research and put no thought into until this very second.
It's clearly Josh Hamilton in center field.
I agree with that.
Nelson Cruz in right. Y'all hate Nelson Cruz? Is that what you're saying?
I don't hate Nelson Cruz.
Adolis in left or vice versa. We'll put, you know, we can switch Nelly over to left field if
you want. What if I want Wyatt Langford already in left field?
I don't think you do.
Okay.
He's not a World Series champion. Nor is he. He hasn't even been to a World Series.
Oh, you know what? Neither is Josh Hamilton. Why not put Evan Carter? Why not put Evan Carter in center field?
Yeah. Mm. You know what? Good point.
No! Josh Hamilton was a menace on and off the field in his prime.
Mike Napoli is your catcher. Mike Napoli is your catcher or Jonah Heim? That's a good question for this because Jonah Heim.
And I go Napoli.
Napoli. Dude, you remember how good he was in that World Series?
Yeah.
Like he was so good. He basically had rubber bands for tendons in his legs, in his ankle. He couldn't feel his ankle and he was still throwing people out. The list I read has David Murphy. Where's David Murphy?
Corey, that's up to you. You made that decision.
I'm a huge David Murphy fan, so stick him in the team.
Okay. Does Palmeiro?
Is Simeon your second baseman?
Make it. Ahead of Kinsler? Or Michael Young? Because you could move Michael Young a couple of different places.
Oh, man.
Would you go Young, Seager, Beltre?
Who's it first? I'm putting it. Who am I putting it first?
Palmeiro.
Yeah.
Hey, as long as they can have cheaters on the other team, why not?
Yeah, I'll take that. That's a good team right there.
Yeah.
It's not as good as that other team. That other team is very, very good.
But that makes sense because this is just the Rangers. The other team is all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I'll take that team plus seven.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Minus seven. Do you want minus seven there? Yeah.
All right.
Soriano is what some people are asking for.
Ooh, what about Teixeira?
So Teixeira was better for the Yankees than he was for the Rangers.
Okay. Controversial opinion then. I think Alex Rodriguez should go ahead of Seager at shortstop. If you're taking the Texas Rangers, Alex Rodriguez, sure we didn't win anything. But he was amazing.
Man, that's a really good point. But Corey Seager won you World Series. In the biggest moments,
okay.
Corey Seager
arrived. So you want Seager over
A-Rod.
Okay.
I'll take Seager over A-Rod. Teixeira is an interesting one, though. That's a really interesting conversation. But I'll take doubles hitting Palmeiro on my team any day.
Okay.
No matter what he's going through. I know I'm not using Gino Petrolli.
And this is the quarter century.
Yeah.
Gino Petrolli is before the 2000s.
So is Nolan. Did Pudge loop back in that? He wasn't the real.
Yeah.
He wasn't good Pudge anymore, was he? Or was he at his best in the early 2000s?
Let's see. No. I mean, his best years were pre-2000 with the Rangers. So I don't know about that.
Quite honestly. If you haven't seen the Windstar commercial that he has with Troy Aikman and Darren Woodson and Emmett, you need to. Pudge is an amazing actor. I didn't even realize.
And I see Hank Blaylock, but I just don't see how you're not putting Beltre there, right?
Oh, yeah. Beltre is my third baseman easily every single time.
Yeah.
He's the best. he's at least the third best defensive third baseman to ever play the
game.
I can
see that. I'll split with you on shortstop. If you're going Seager, I'm going to take A-Rod.
Okay, yeah.
Second base, I want Michael Young. And then first base.
Just because you need Michael Young on a team.
You want Michael Young. You need Michael Young. I'm going to go with Palmeiro at first base.
Amazing doubles hitter. Also had some power and pop to him, but
don't worry about
a
what.
Very clean first baseman over there too.
Yeah, that's what I'm
just
thinking.
Keep an eye on him off the field.
Okay, that is
for multiple reasons.
That is fair. Who's your manager?
Oh, it's easily Boach.
I think so.
It's Boach.
I agree.
I mean, I love Wash. Guess who Wash lost to his World Series to?
Ooh.
Both of them.
Bruce Boach.
One of them was to Bochy. One of them was not to Bochy.
Yes.
All right, so I'll take the guy that won the World Series. Pitching.
He was busting.
Thank you, Boach. We appreciate that. Pitching.
Evo's in there.
It's definitely Evaldi. And then CJ Wilson, Cliff Lee, Derek Holland.
What about Cole Hamels?
And Colby Lewis. I'm getting rid of CJ Wilson.
No, Darvish?
Putting Cole Hamels in. What did he ever do for this team?
I mean, you Darvish was...
When he was in the playoffs for this team, what happened?
Okay. Hey, you didn't use that for Aaron Judge. He sucks in the playoffs, and we still put him on there.
Yeah, no, all right. Yeah, dude, hold on. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Hold on a damn second. So it's clearly Evo. All right, he's your one.
Hold on. Stop. We're going to have to go to break.
No.
We have to go to break.
Call me right now and I'll talk about, I want to talk about this.
Okay.
With you. Actually, you and I are just sitting next to each
other.
Or
you know what? Maybe we'll just move this conversation into the next one because we've solved nothing.
We should do this with Boach at 12:30 today.
Oh, man.
Boach, what are your thoughts?
All right. You know what? I actually want to figure
out.
We can do
this in the C block today.
Okay. All right. We will get back to that. Coming up next, does rooting against someone like Nugent Hopkins make sports more fun? We'll do that next right here on The Fan.